York Islanders are proud to select from the Seattle Thunderbirds, Matthew Barzal.
The Islanders de New York sont fiers de repêcher. The Islanders are proud to select from Shawinigan, Anthony Beauvillier.
Islanders country, hello. The return of the Isles Blog Podcast, post-draft edition. I'm Joe Bono. A reminder to follow the entire team on Twitter at Isles Blog. And you can subscribe to the podcast via iTunes or listen at nyislesblog.com. He's an Islanders columnist for WFAN.com. Follow him on Twitter at dfriedman on NYI. It's our friend Daniel Friedman. Dan, Joe Bono for the Isles Blog Podcast. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing well, Dan. And I guess, you know what? Friday night I was settling in and I said, I'm going to stick with the draft. I'm going to watch Connor McDavid get selected. I want to see Jack Eichel. I want to see if Dylan Strome goes through to Arizona. But then after that, I might check out a little bit, see what else is on TV, monitor to it as Twitter, see what the Islanders may do. Never imagined they would leave Friday night with not one but two first-round picks. But it seemed like as the draft was approaching, people got the sense that Garth may be looking to get into that first round.
It's funny because in the hours leading up to the draft, I was talking with a couple of agents who were telling me the Islanders were talking with them about their players, and these were players who I think were projected to go around the second round, and so there was this growing sense that the Islanders are really going to try and move up here to the second round, And then I actually heard from one person that there is a player that they like, and I didn't know the name of the player in the first round, and I said to myself, yeah, but there's no way they're going to get into the first round, But lo and behold, they did, and they did trade Griffin Reinhart, and I felt, the way he kind of developed, I don't think that he's going to be a bust. I think he can still be a good player, but when you have Ryan Pulock developing the way he does, and you have Scott Mayfield and Adam Pellick, and you signed Boychuk and Letty long-term, you just have this flexibility that you can move the defenseman. And, in a very deep draft, to get a 16th pick and to get a player who a lot of people thought was going to go in the top 10, Matthew Barzal, to grab that guy at 16, you got to go for it. I think then you turn one of the other picks in the Reinhart trade into another first-round pick. If those two kids pan out, even if Reinhart pans out, that's a good deal in a very deep draft to get that kind of, to get that kind of return and get two players that can help you down the road. So I thought, very good move, very savvy for the Islanders.
And Bridgeport Sound Tiger play-by-play man Phil Jubileo was the first person that I saw on Twitter make this comparison, and it's a great one, and I've seen others have done it since, is that you look what happened earlier in the day in Boston trading Dougie Hamilton to Calgary, and what the Bruins got back and what Garth Snow was able to get back for Griffin Reinhart, his 8 career
games. Very similar.
I mean, and he's looked at right now, at least the people that watch Islander games last year, as a bit of a fading prospect. Amazing that he was able to get a 16 and the 33rd overall pick for Reinhart compared to what Hamilton. I know you're going to have to pay Hamilton, but he's a 22-year-old established stud. I was surprised at what they were able to get for Reinhart.
Yeah, I wasn't so surprised at what they were able to get for him, only because he is still a top five. You also have to remember, the Islanders are flush with talent. So, for teams that aren't necessarily in that situation, there are several teams where Griffin Reinhart would arguably be the best prospect on the team, in their system. The Islanders are fortunate that they have all these players, and to the point where Griffin Reinhart can fall down the depth chart the way he has. Ryan Pulock can move ahead of him. Not every team has a situation. Certainly, I think he steps into Edmonton, he's automatically their best defensive prospect, if you look at their system. So for them, certainly, and I think we've heard Edmonton, we've heard that team being mentioned and, in linked to Reinhart so many times, not just because he plays for the Edmonton Oil Kings, but, there was always that connection that, they may want to trade for him, and, lo and behold, that's where he goes. So if you've got, all it takes is one team, to value him as that kind of top prospect, and they'll pay the price that they think that, that he, that he costs. And, if they're that interested and the Islanders were able to take advantage of that and make the move that they needed to and get it done. So, I was very impressed. I think it speaks more to the inability of Bruins general manager Don Sweeney to get what Hamilton was really worth, to be honest with you. I think it has more to do with that.
And, Dan, you make a really good point. I mean, Islander fans will recall even during the early part of last season, the reports, on social media that Reinhart had demanded a trade to go back to Edmonton. I wonder if it wasn't the Oilers and the familiarity they have with Reinhart and him being part of a Memorial Cup championship team with the Oil Kings, if he would have generated this kind of compensation with any other team. And like you said, it only takes one team, and I understand the need they have to have some NHL caliber ready prospects in Edmonton, but still, I think he might end up being a really good player. But you tell me, Dan, you saw him in person. From an eye test standpoint, I was not overly impressed with him. And the fact that he got his opportunity in Game 5 in the playoff series against Washington, and then you saw what Mayfield did when he came up, I think that even gave the Islanders even that much more confidence that they could withstand moving him.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think I don't think you want to make a move based on how, you know, these guys playing one game. You know, I think certainly they also play a little bit different role. Mayfield played a little bit more of a role where he could just kind of hit anything that moves, and Reinhardt was kind of being relied upon to be a more shutdown guy, and he just wasn't prepared for it. You know, these defensemen take a long time to develop. Sometimes, you know, it's just the defensive position comes with so much more responsibility than, say, a forward. Not that a forward doesn't have a lot of responsibility, but, you know, it's so, you know, a lot of it has to do with your ability to read the play and react to the play. You know, you're not relying on other line mates like forwards are as much. You know, and you have to communicate with yours as a defensive partner, but you know, it's a little bit different. And I think, you know, obviously his flip speed was an issue. I think that was the biggest issue. He was having trouble, you know, maintaining position, and he was having trouble catching up with guys and missing defensive assignments. And that's something that, you know, you can fix with time, you know, your skating. But, you know, I wouldn't go so far as to say he was becoming a bust, but, you know, he definitely wasn't progressing, I think, as the Islanders hoped he would.
Dan Friedman, WFAN.com, is our guest. Do you think if Barzal wasn't available, they still make this move? I'm sure that they were in conversations with other teams about Reinhardt as well, but do you think it was Barzal not getting selected by the three consecutive Bruins picks that made Garth and company make this move, or do you think they would have made it otherwise, or there were other players they were interested in, or they targeted this guy Barzal, who by all accounts was a top 10 pick, maybe even higher before he got injured in the WHL last season?
I don't think they would have made this move, and I'm not sure they would have traded Reinhardt, but I think, you know, again, you have to have, I think it has a lot to do with the fact that Edmonton wanted Reinhardt, that you could make that move. But I think they would have tried to either get, you know, a later first-round pick, or, like, you know, I had talked to a lot of people who had said to me, you know, the Islanders are really interested in moving to the second round. You know, I think they would have done something to try and get in on the action in those first two rounds, because, again, it's such a deep draft. You know, you could make the case that the Islanders already have enough prospects, but you never have enough prospects. And honestly, if you have a once in a generation type of draft where, you know, there are tons of players in the top, you know, in the first two rounds that could become, you know, very good NHL players, you have to try and get something here, you know. And I think that they understood that in advance, and I think that, you know, they would have tried to do that regardless, even if it was a different type of trade, maybe in a different round.
Now, you look at both Barzal and Anthony Beauvillier, and you look at their heights. One's 5'11", one's 5'10". And I guess this was mentioned throughout the draft, and you see the success that players like Tyler Johnson have had and other undersized players, that this game is moving away from the idea that every forward needs to be 6'1", 6 feet tall, 6'2". These 5'11", 5'10 guys, even shorter, the game is getting quicker, it's getting faster, and there's less concern about how these guys size-wise will be able to play at the NHL.
Yeah, 100%. I think the key is if you're a smaller guy, you have to have something that makes you more elusive, whether it's you have really good hands or you're a fantastic skater. You know, both things, by the way, that Barzal possesses. And, you know, he's also a very good playmaker, so you can get those passes off quickly, even if he's in tight spaces. You know, you have to have something that, you know, that compensates for your lack of size. And I think in today's NHL, you can hit the nail right on the head. Today's game, the way it flows, it kind of allows for you to flourish if you have those kinds of abilities. You know, I think guys like Marty St. Louis have always been able to figure it out if you have exceptional talent. But, you know, now you don't necessarily have to be the most exceptional player, but you do have to have something that makes you stand out a little bit. You have to have a skill that you can use to be elusive and to take advantage, you know, of your situation. So I think, you know, it certainly isn't what it used to be as far as that. I don't think every winger needs to be 6'5", 220. You know, I think there tends to be a misunderstanding on that one. I think some people tend to believe that every winger does need to be that way. It's really not the case anymore. I think the game is trending away from that.
Now, the two players that Garth Snow reportedly was looking to move or was open to moving during the draft, one was Kyle Okposo, where, you know, those rumors started, people ran with them, and then they were kind of put to rest pretty early before the draft even started. But the other player was Michael Grabner. And to your knowledge, how aggressively did the Islanders shop Grabner? And was it a fact that his injury concerns and contract just that they could not find any suitors for Grabner whatsoever?
And from what I heard, the fact that he just had surgery played a big role in, you know, lack of interest. And I think they did. Yeah, I think they did try. And there just was nothing to really, nothing, you know, that they would have been satisfied with. And I understand. And they have all summer to try and trade him. Maybe he gets a little more healthy. Maybe you can make a better case to a general manager to take him on. You know, and I understand why other general managers would be hesitant given his recent health history, you know, and the recent injury concerns. You know, I understand it for sure. And as for Kyle Oposo, I really felt like they, you know, and this is something I think Elliot Friedman also said, you know, Sportsnet, he also said, you know, tested would be a better word. He was just putting out the feelers. But I think if you're Garth Snow, if you're the Islanders, your best play here, unless you're going to replace Kyle Oposo with a player of equal value, and that doesn't mean with somebody already in the organization. That means if you've got somebody, you know, in addition coming outside in a trade who's as good or better. So even if you got to pay him an extra $500,000 a year, honestly, you're better off with him than without him. He's a very good player. You know, he can put up 70 points a year, maybe even 75. He meshes well with Tavares. You know, if you're going to try and contend, and he's a big part of that, you find a way to keep him. You know, you have to pay him a little more. You know, we look at the Chicago Blackhawks. They pay a lot of money, and they have their more role players, and they're often interchangeable. They often have to, you know, they have to sell off assets and replace them, but they've done it effectively. So I think if you're the Islanders, you try and figure out how to keep Kyle Oposo in the fold.
Dan Friedman is our guest, Isles Blog Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at dfriedman on NYI. So, I mean, what would you pay for Kyle Oposo? Obviously, they're going to go through this year, and depending on what level he performs at, if it's kind of pre-eye surgery Oposo for a whole 82 games, that's going to garner a big time contract. And you look at some of these other restricted free agents the Islanders have to take care of. Plus they're going to have to pay John Tavares in a couple of years in one of the best, you know, cap friendly deals in the NHL currently. I mean, what is that point? Is it, are you willing to pay $6 million AAV for Kyle Oposo given what his production has been to this point?
Well, I think he's got to be that 70 in that 70 point range or above. And I think he's got to produce. He's not going to be that player. He's going to be a diminished player because of the injury or whatever it is, you know, if he's not going to be the same type of player, then I think that's a very different conversation, right? You know, if he's putting up 55 points a year, then no, I'm not going to pay him $7 million a year. But, you know, if he's putting up 70, 75 points and he's on Tavares' line all year and they're playing well together, yeah, I'd find a way to keep him around, you know, even if it takes a little more than I'd like to pay him, you know. So I think it really does depend. And I think maybe that's why the Islanders are a little more hesitant to give him a contract now, because I think they want to just make sure everything's A-okay. After the injury, you know, it kind of took him a little while to get back. And I think by the playoffs, at a certain point during the playoffs, he finally started to play with a little more intensity and started to show that fire again. But I think they want to see it a little more just to make sure that they're going to pay, you know, what they're going to be paying for is what they think they're getting.
So as we look at ahead to free agency on July 1, obviously backup goaltender, we'll see if the Islanders bring back Michael Neuwirth or move or look somewhere else for a backup goaltender. But overall, it's a pretty underwhelming free agency class. I know some players were put on, you know, outright waivers earlier today, including ex-Islander P.A. Parenteau. What out there do you think could make the Islanders better? What's that player or players that you feel could really be a fit so that the team just isn't going back with the same group of guys that can step forward?
Well, I think, you know, what they would be best with, obviously, I think they need to bring back backup goaltender, whether it's Neuwirth or someone else, like you said. But I think also, you know, a top six forward veteran scorer would do. You know, I don't think it needs to be a superstar. For today. A lot of people are saying, you know, John Tavares finally needs a superstar winger. You know, I think if you look at the options, you've got Kyle Oposo, who could be a 70-point player. You have Anders Lee, who could really conceivably score 30 goals in a line of John Tavares, you know, and is a good player in his own right. You have a lot of very good options here. I don't think they're desperate. You could even go Ryan Strome on his wing. He could do very well. I think you have enough options there that, you know, I don't think he needs a Phil Kessel. You know, I don't think they're desperate for a Phil Kessel. That if they don't go out and get Phil Kessel or Patrick Sharp, then they have no interest in winning. I think they can win without those guys. You know, I think flip side, you know, to have a veteran scorer to rely on, you know, when some of their secondary scoring goes down, I think that would have helped. Like a Justin Williams type would have helped, I think, last year, at certain times last year, certainly down the stretch, you know, and a guy to fill in. And obviously that's a space that the Islanders would need to create by trading a Michael Grabner or Josh Bailey, because right now they just have no room for anybody else on the roster as far as forwards are concerned. So I think they'd have to open up a space if they make a move. But, you know, a top six forward, a veteran guy who can score, I think would help, would go a long way. And maybe a veteran defenseman, too. You know, I don't think we'll be Vishnovsky coming back. And just in case Ryan Pulock isn't quite ready, you know, that at least you have some insurance. I think that would help.
Do you imagine there being any difficulty signing any of the guys who right now currently are restricted free agents, or you think those will be all kind of painless negotiations and they Islanders are able to sign them pretty quickly here?
I think that'll be relatively painless. You know, and once in a while you have a Ray or you have a Ryan Johansson situation in your, you know, PK Subban situation, but I don't think any of these cases are going to be like it. I think this is going to be relatively painless.
And let's just quickly just returning back to the draft and what they kind of did, and Islanders did in day two here. Mitchell Van de Sopel, a guy who played with the Oshawa Generals alongside Michael Dalcol and won the Memorial Cup with them. Parker Wotherspoon, Rich Pilon's cousin, Ryan Pilon. I've heard people said that it was his son, that it was his nephew, but actually it's his cousin. Islanders went defense, so they moved Reinhardt and look to be getting a lot of left-handed shooting defenders in day two as a focus.
Yeah, and you know what? We know the Islanders like to do this. They like to draft teammates. You know, I think the first example of this, the most prominent example of this, is when they traded up to get Calvin DeHaan, the senior they drafted John Tavares, right? They and a lot of emphasis is on the fact that they played at Oshawa together, you know, and I think you're having a similar thing, too. It's ironic that it's Oshawa again, you know, that this time it's Dalcol and Vandy Sumble. But, you know, again, like the smallest defensive can move the puck. I feel like we've seen this movie before, and maybe he doesn't, you know. I don't see, you know, what's the difference between him and, you know, let's say an Aaron Ness type that they drafted. But, you know, maybe they're trying to finally find that guy. But, you know, again, you know, I think these are, you know, the later rounds, you know, they're meant to be low risk, high reward type situations. And I think, you know, with any of these, you could really make the case that, you know, that they're taking a solid chance here on a player that could pan out.
You know, Jack Capuano looked very tan and relaxed on stage, I felt, Friday night. Must have been down in Florida. Must have stayed down in Florida and then came over to Sunrise, Florida for the draft. You know, now that everyone's kind of digested and obviously had a lot of moves there in Game 6 and 7 that came under fire, scratching Brock Nelson, scratching Anders Lee for the last couple games. Now that we're a few months removed from all of that, has your opinion of Jack Capuano changed at all? Or, you know, what kind of season – you know, what kind of hot seat is he under just as the season starts this year, given the heightened expectations?
I don't think my opinion has really changed. I don't think that matters, but if that didn't change, you know, I think he is definitely on the hot seat, though. You know, I think anytime you've got a team that's, you know, ready to take the next step, and, you know, if they don't, you know, he's going to be out of a job, you know. So, you know, I think the Islanders, you know, and Garcia certainly have shown that, you know, they're not going to have much patience for this kind of stuff. It's a team falters right out of the gate. So, you know, and I think that was the case last year too. You know, obviously they didn't falter out of the gate. They did very well. You know, but I think if that happened this year, I think he'd be in trouble. You know, and I think, you know, they're, you know, for whatever reason, they are not going to give up on him after the kind of season they had. And, you know, I don't agree with it, but I guess I understand it from their perspective. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But I do think he's on the hot seat 100%.
And, Dan, will you be at the blue and white scrimmage on Wednesday night, next Wednesday, at the Barclays Center to see a lot of these new Islander prospects and some other ones that Islander fans hope to see real, real soon?
I will be. I'm very much looking forward to it. I'm especially looking forward to seeing the guy at 6'8", Anthony Bevilier. Yeah, he really looks like a speedy goal scorer, you know, flew a little under the radar. Wasn't expected to necessarily go in the first round, but I really like a lot of what this kid brings. You know, he really does seem like, you know, a comparison, I think, you know, is fair, you know, not just because of the size of Johnny Gaudreau. I think he's got a lot of similar attributes as far as his hands, his skating ability, and his, you know, his shot. The guy has an excellent wrist shot, excellent release, you know, and you don't score 40 goals, but, you know, and at any level without that. So, you know, he has that, and I'm really curious to see him in person. I'm curious to see how this kid pans out.
I'm excited to go too. I mean, for a number of reasons, I've never gone to one of the prospect mini camp games before. I think, you know, $10 general admission, just a free promotion for everyone that wants to go check that out. And you get to check out probably a lot of the seats in Barclays Center to see the different views if you haven't gotten an opportunity.
Absolutely.
To. So check out some new talent, check out what the seats and what the views of the ice are from Barclays Center before the season gets started. What are you coming up with at WFAN.com in the coming weeks? What can we expect from Dan Friedman?
Well, we'll see a more in-depth draft recap, I think, tomorrow morning. And, you know, just a little more take on the players, a little more in-depth. and maybe a little more analysis on why it was not such a bad thing that Griffin Reinhart's gone, and why that doesn't necessarily mean he's a bust, and what that means for the other Islander defense in this situation, what that means for Ryan Pulock. You know, I think his chances of making the team just went up a bit because he's got a little less competition for that spot. So, you know, it should be a lot of fun. It should be very interesting.
Well, Dan, we'll look forward to those pieces and obviously your coverage as free agency gets underway and this Islander roster, which, you know, might not have a lot of changes, but likely there'll be a couple of changes that could make a big difference heading into the 2015-2016 season. As always, we appreciate the time and we'll talk to you again real soon.
All right. Thanks so much. Take care.
You've been listening to the Isles Blog Podcast. Visit nyislesblog.com for an archive of the show or subscribe to the podcast via iTunes. Follow the team on Twitter at Isles Blog and send comments to nyislesblog@gmail.com.